I lit another cigarette as I stared out the window of my cabin. The waves were crashing gently against the side of the ship. Under different circumstances, I would have found the entire effect calming. However, that night my mind was elsewhere. I suppose I should have been glad that it was still good weather for sailing, but I was no longer eager to return home. The mystery unfolding on the vessel drew me like a moth to a flame. Some snotty rich heiress had nearly been bludgeoned to death by falling chandelier. While I didn't care much for the little darling, I couldn't deny the fact that the ropes holding the chandelier up had been severed. The accident was a result of foul play, and I needed to know who tried to kill her. Unfortunately, the girl hadn't given me any good leads, and interviewing the other passengers had proved useless. I had at least 4 pages of notes on what the heiress had been wearing that night, and absolutely no information on who might have wanted to murder the damn girl. The rich never seem to notice anything that matters. However, their obliviousness was something that I normally tried to embrace. Kept me in business, at least. As of late, half my job was simply pointing out facts that everyone else had conveniently overlooked. However, this case wasn't as obvious as it first seemed, and the passengers were only getting in the way of my goddamn work. It had only been nearly 24 hours since the accident, and my options were quickly drying up. I needed more information, and time was of the essence. The ship would reach port in 4 days, and that would give the would-be killer a chance to escape to dry land. There would be no hope of finding them after that. If I wanted to crack this case, I needed to do it now. I also had another reason to hurry. I wasn't the only detective aboard the ship. Ever since we departed, I had been forced to endure the company of an all-too-eager female detective that everyone called Lady. She'd already taken it upon herself to interview the victim's husband, and unsurprisingly, he now had absolutely no interest in talking to me. No doubt that was Lady's doing. She probably instructed the poor lad to stay away from me. Well, I was above such petty tactics. I refused to resort to witness tampering. I didn't need it to solve the case before she did. I knew that I was more talented than she was. But I had to admit that I had grown increasingly desperate over the past 24 hours. Without any reliable witnesses, I knew I'd have to call in a few favours. But, unfortunately for Lady, I still had an ace or two up my sleeve. As soon as I finished my cigarette, I took a quick stroll down the hall to the other first-class cabin. It belonged to a rather famous actress, best known for her work in motion pictures. She was also an old flame of mine. We'd met long before she'd become famous, back when she used to turn tricks in an old dive on South Third. We traded favours for a time. A girl in her line of work could get me information on any man who ever felt the need to sin. And I was always willing to throw a few more dollars her way for it. Of course, we also had other ways of thanking each other, which at the time, I think we were both grateful for. But our relationship had fizzled as her star started to rise. I don't think she would take kindly to be reminded about the old days, so I spent my time on the ship avoiding her. However, I couldn't avoid her any longer. I had exhausted all my other options, and she had always had a better eye than most, and might have been able to confirm a couple of my suspicions. So, steeling myself, I knocked on the door. She answered after one knock. She'd been likely expecting my visit. She didn't look remotely surprised to see me. I, however, had to restrain myself from gaping at her. She was wearing nothing but an open silk robe and some lace bloomers. She never had been ashamed of her body and clearly felt no need to hide it now. I thought about telling her that she ought to have a bit more decency. I didn't want her to get the upper hand. With a small wink, she invited me in and offered me a glass of wine, which I politely accepted. She took one for herself and sat down on the bed. Then she gave me a sly grin and commented that it was a bit odd that the heiress had conveniently decided to read a book in the dining room by herself at the exact time someone had planned to kill her with a chandelier. I glared at my old flame. How would she even know that piece of information was beyond me? And I hated the fact that she did. She shrugged and told me that I had never been one to waste time. So, she figured that she might as well cut to the chase and tell me what she knew. I rolled my eyes and told her that I already considered that the damn girl's excuse was pretty thin. Unless she had anything better to offer, I had better be on my way. She laughed and said that I must be losing my touch if I needed her to put the pieces together. I scowled at her and did my best to control my temper. Entirely unfazed, she walked over to me with a same sly smile. Then she put my lips to mine. In spite of myself, I melted into her. It had been so long since I tasted the sweetness of her tongue, and she remained as passionate as ever. My hands began to wander over her back before I could stop them. To my surprise, I had missed being able to touch her, and now it was all I wanted to do. She felt amazing, and I longed for more. So when she finally pulled her head back, I grabbed her chin and forced her eyes to meet mine. I bent down and whispered, "What do you want?" She laughed and gave me a shove before leaping onto the bed. Once she had set herself on it, she glanced back at me with that same damn smile. All she said was, "Surprise me." Oh, I would break her. The words barely escaped her lips before I climbed on top of her and pinned down her wrists. I held her tightly as I grinned and stared down at her. I had hoped to frighten the cheeky little slut, but I saw only a mixture of amusement and boredom in her eyes. No matter, she could posture all she wants. She was still under my control. And if she wanted surprises, I'd damn well give her surprises. I took my handkerchief from my pocket and wrapped it over her eyes. I didn't want to look at those damn cocky peepers again tonight. Besides, the darling did clearly request not to be able to see what was coming. Once I was satisfied with the knot, I kissed her again. This time, I let myself take as much as I wanted. Her lips tasted so sweet, and she was in no place to stop me. Once I'd gotten my fill, I pulled a set of handcuffs out of her pocket. I kept kissing her as I gently cuffed her hands above her head. After all, I couldn't risk letting her pretty little fingertips ruin the surprise, could I? I stared down at her. She was relaxed, pliable, and completely under my control. Which meant that I could tease her as much as I wanted. I started to kiss her where she would least expect it. First her stomach, then her ears, then her chest. And her shoulders, and then her neck, delighted in watching her wiggle as she felt the touch of my lips. I knew that I had her right where I wanted her. I teased her neck more as my hands wandered over her chest. She moaned. I suppose that she was no longer bored. Oh, but I could push her much further. I slid my hand down. I let it tickle her stomach for a few moments before finally sliding it into her bloomers. I grinned as I felt her wetness. She was a good actress, but no matter how hard she tried to remain unimpressed, her pussy couldn't lie. She was soaking. Such a good girl. I rewarded her by teasing her clit. I moved my hand up and down, feeling just how nice and swollen her pussy had gotten. As my finger stroked her, she gasped at the new sensation and tried to pull me closer. Just a pity that her hands were still cuffed above her head. I laughed, but I didn't let her suffer long. I placated her by kissing her neck as the strokes of my hand grew faster. She trembled and gasped beneath me, a complete slave to any pleasure I saw fit to provide her. I let my lips wander all over her again as I kept playing with her beautiful little cunt. First her fingers, then her shoulders, then her chest. Finally, when I thought she'd been teased enough, I slid my fingers inside of her. I knew that she was ready for me. They went in with ease. I smiled to myself. Such a lucky girl. I still remembered all of her spots. I moved my fingers up and down, touching her right where I knew it would break her. She immediately cried out in pleasure as I felt her wetness drip down my fingers. Not bored now, are we? I teased. It was all becoming a bit too much. The poor dear couldn't answer. Instead, she shook her head as she cried out again. I laughed. I could tell that she was getting close. Her pussy was growing tight. Her body was starting to shake. I knew that I could make her do whatever I wanted. I kissed her again to push her further. Then, I whispered in her ear, "No coming until I tell you to. Understood, darling?" She nodded. I smirked and moved my fingers faster, letting them glide up and down a sweet, delicious cunt. And she moaned, and she writhed, and she screamed. She didn't give in. Such a good girl. Finally, I decided to give her what she was so desperately wanted. With one last kiss, I asked if she was ready. The darling was trembling so much that she could barely nod, but she managed it. So I counted her down. 3, 2, 1, now, come for me. And then she let out a cry of ecstasy, and I felt her wonderful pussy squeezed tightly around my fingers. With each squeeze, her joy grew louder and louder until she was exhausted and my hand was soaked. Good girl. When she had finally been satisfied, I removed the handcuffs and the blindfold. She sat up, still looking a bit dazed, but collected herself quickly. She'd never been one for post-coital affection, so I offered her a cigarette instead. She took it without a second thought. As she lit it, she asked me if I still wanted information. I told her that I just wanted to know if the girl had been acting. She laughed and said of course she was. How else would she have gotten me to sleep with her? I rolled my eyes. Undeterred, she told me that the girl had been lying about the chandelier crash too. She had to have known that it was going to happen. Spoiled as the little heiress was, there was no way she'd be crying for attention if she actually feared for her life. I nodded. The actress' statement confirmed my suspicions about the girl. But it still left so many questions unanswered. Had the heiress been trying to kill herself? If so, why? And if not, what sort of game was this? And who was trying to fool who? I didn't know, and unfortunately, I didn't have much time to consider answers. As my compatriot finishes her cigarette, another scream come from down the hall. Without hesitation, I leapt up and chased after it, this time dreading what I might find. I knew these weren't the cries of someone wanting attention. They were the screams of someone dying.